Hello and welcome to the ARCOP podcast for February 2025 with me, James Jenkins, Head of Customer Development, and Matt Cook, ARCOP General Manager. Okay, and we're live with the February podcast. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, James, especially it's end of February and it's only getting better from here. That's the way I view it. That's the way I view the year. I've hit the low point of my year and now it's all upside from here.
Well, I learned a long time ago to always have a follow-up question. When you say the low point, what are we thinking?
Shortest days, temperatures, lowest temperature, shortest days. Those are the things that just don't work well for me.
Yeah, we had... I don't know what things were like there in New Jersey, but here we had, I think it was like 10 days where day or night it didn't get above freezing.
Yeah.
And then it gets into your bones. And all you can do really is just hunker down and talk about 3DS, which is what we do on this podcast, which is the objective of this podcast, really. So if we are, again, promoting this on LinkedIn. So if people are listening to it for the first time, this is kind of what we do, Matt, really. When we talk about 3D Secure as a protocol, we believe that we're pretty confident we're number one in the market. And as we know, there's a lot of other people who are interested in this protocol. I think it's been proven to work well in PSD2. And I've been out at a number of events recently. I think hopefully you share the opinion. It feels like things are starting to move in the US as well. So I thought we could talk around the US market. I think people, I know you've been having a lot of meetings with customers around smart rule set. So maybe we could get an update. Would love your perspective on that. And then thought we could have some fun and talk about AI. Broadcom is an AI company. We talk about AI a lot. How's that factoring into the market and our plans? And then see how it goes. But I thought I would start with a story. So a very quick story. I was at the Merchant Advisory Group recently in Washington, which was great, actually. I mean, they're very well-run events, lots of interesting conversations. But one of the things that struck me, and it was the reason we put out a video statement from us around like the state 3D Secure and what we believe is best practice, is still how many merchants, I think, don't understand how 3DS works, what the opportunity is. And what we still keep hearing is, you know, 3DS impacts, you know, in a negative way overall approval rates. And yeah, I have an emotional response, shall we say, to comments like that. You know, like, no, it's not. But like... And then I started thinking, why is that still, you know, permeating through the industry? And I guess one is that it still could be true, right? It could be true that in certain circumstances, 3DS is lowering approval rates because not all ACSs work, you know, access control servers work like ours. The other one is, I think it could be that, you know, not everybody celebrates 3DS adoption in the US, particularly if you've got a business that perhaps is doing... say non-3DS, a business that isn't helped by 3DS adoption. So, yeah, as the GM of the ARCOP business for, I think, 7 years now.
Yeah, getting there. 2019, maybe, something like that.
What's your take on it, on 3DS more broadly? I mean, yeah, more, maybe more broadly, and then what do you think is happening in the US?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, well, first, you always hear everyone... Nobody wants friction, right? Nobody wants to have to authenticate the cardholder in the midst of a purchase because it is friction by definition, unless you can do it frictionless, which is what we take a lot of pride in. But the reality is there's a problem. Fraud exists, and fraudsters are constantly trying to take advantage of the system and exploit weaknesses in the chain. And authentication is absolutely a way to combat fraud, whether it's during a payment, whether it's logging into a system. You would never let someone log into a brokerage system without authenticating their identity first. So similar idea. And I know that early incantations of 3D Secure didn't help its reputation. I'll just say it that way, right? The earlier versions of the protocol were clunky. You got iframe. It was just a clunky way to authenticate. But now it's interesting because if you flip it and you look at how does this work in Europe right now, where there is a mandate to authenticate most of the time on most payments, it works pretty well, actually. And it makes you think that perhaps once cardholders get used to authenticating and have their system set up so that in best case it's out of band, and then they're interacting with their banking app more, or their issuing app, whomever it is, more frequently. They understand how to authenticate, they understand how to get into the app, to do their face ID, whatever it may be, to properly authenticate the payment. And you start to actually see a change in behavior, because then when you don't get the friction, sometimes you get people calling into the call center to say, I didn't get to authenticate, like, I'm worried about my payment. Did it go through? So you start to, you could make the argument that the solution for bad authentication is more authentication, because right, it gets people more accustomed to it and builds the system associated with essentially logging in to make a payment, which makes a lot of sense when you just say it in its most simplest term. And yeah, that's the promise of 3D Secure. Now, I think it's on all of us that we haven't yet. Well, in Europe, it's pretty much living up to that promise. But in the US, it hasn't yet lived up to that promise. And you still have merchants sending just the risky stuff, which just causes problems, and not conditioning the legitimate transactions to that authentication is absolutely a tool to protect them and something that should be embraced. And yeah, totally biased, I get it. But if you ask me how to make authentication work better, it would be do more of it so people are more accustomed to it and they build it into their everyday workflow.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective. So I know in Europe, or mainland Europe in particular, that authentication, I think, historically has been more accepted. And then in the UK, when I was many years ago, even then 3DS was seen as, it was a merchant you would trust if you saw verified by Visa and secure code on it.
Yeah.
And then in the US, I think it's moving that way. But yeah, it's taking some time. And to your point on only sending the high risk stuff, I totally get it why merchants would do that. And if you risk scored a transaction, you have high confidence that this is genuine, I don't want to risk any friction. So I'll send it straight through to authorization. If I think it's high risk, then okay, I'll give it another second chance at life, and I'll send it through to authentication. But the problem with that is, from an issuer perspective, and from our perspective, it's very, very hard to manage if you're only seeing the high risk stuff. And I think the advent of these RCI codes, in particular data only, is really changing the game in the US. I think it works. 3DS works in Europe. PSD2, I think, forced the behavior, which is not a phrase I like, to be honest, forced the behavior, but it did, right? And now it's kind of working. And I think in the opportunity in the US is that we can get the best of both worlds. So we can get the, you know, the levels of frictionless authentication that we want, but with the lowest levels of fraud.
Yeah, and agreed. Talking. And you mentioned data only. I mean, the wouldn't it be great if you could get the benefits of authentication without the friction associated with authentication? And right, one of the ways to do that is to send more data. I mean, the pure authorization, so if you go direct to authorization, you're not getting enough data into the system for those authorization systems to be able to make good decisions on fraud versus legitimate. And you get into this false decline problem where your legitimate transactions are getting declined. And as a cardholder, it happens. I have a certain card that I use sometimes that declines me all the time. And now it's gotten to a point where I know if it's above a certain threshold, it's just going to get declined. And I'm going to have to go through this process of going into the app and, you know, saying it's a legitimate transaction and then resubmitting the transaction. I'm going to have to go through that process. And it absolutely impacts which card I use to make certain purchases, and just the types of purchases that that card would like me to make, I'm not using it because it's going to give me a false decline. Now, if it had a magical, you know, out of band authentication approach where it's like, you know, open up the app and just scan your face and you're good to go, I'd be much more comfortable using it, and it would use it all the time. So yeah. I think it's we're at that point where, and we should talk about the Visa Bulletin too, because it feels like now the schemes, both Visa and MasterCard, are both pushing for data only flows, because you get the data, but there's no friction involved in the process. So you get right, to send the data, you get the risk score, you get to see does it look legitimate or not, and then you get to pass that information to the authorization system so you can make a better decision. It's how it should work. It's how it was, the whole system was designed. That's how it should work. And we're getting closer to that reality.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that Visa Bulletin then? So we're looking at April 11th and 12th, which our read on it, and I think we'll be able to share the actual mandate. So this is our opinion. It looks like any O6 transactions across ACS providers can neither be challenged or denied. It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. I think that finally saying to merchants, if you send a 3DS transaction with this code, it cannot be, there'll be no friction.
And liability remains with the merchant.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's just now it becomes just give the issuer more information so they can make a better decision.
Yeah.
That's the basic. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And you'll really get better is. You'll get better approval rates because now they'll have more data. They'll feel more comfortable with the transaction and your false declines will go down.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, and the US does have a real problem with false declines. I'm convinced of that. We hear it all the time. So, yeah, interesting. So lots happening up at the merchant side. Now, that only works if things are optimized downstream, which comes into play with the smart rule set. I know there's a lot of activity happening there. Any key updates, Matt, since the last podcast?
Yeah, great news. We've gone live in production with a couple customers. We've got real results. We're able to compare smart rule set to the way that it was before. And the way we started to package it up, it makes it a little bit more consumable. So I think it's a really good idea is we're running 4-hour test windows where we say, all right, we're going to switch the traffic to the smart rule set for a period of 4 hours. And then at the end of which we switch right back. And then we collect all the data, we share the data, we give the time for fraud to actually cure in the system so that we can get the real fraud results from the test. And then we'll have a nice little data package that can we can all feel good about, or at least review and determine what the next steps would be. So far, the data is very positive and smart rule set is indeed behaving as we expect it to, because we're running them passively in production today. So every transaction, whether or not smart rule set has been enabled, is now actually running through these smart rule sets in passive mode. So we can see real A/B testing. So we can actually see what's going on and what we can expect to happen. And so far, the results that we've seen when we turn it on for periods of time is that we do indeed get the results that we expected to. So, so far, so good. I'm pretty excited about it. I think this is a step change in the effectiveness of authentication for issuers. And if we're able to system to do the work and to the models to do what they do really well, it will make the system more effective.
Yeah. Which, and I probably have kind of a merchant flavor right now because I've been speaking to so many. It will help merchants as well, because they want to know that when those transactions are sent down the rails that they're going to be optimized. So RCI codes is one big part of that. That's their information. But if we're using our smart rule set with data from across the ARCOT network with our level of intelligence, then that's going to help merchants have more confidence when they send transactions down to us. And it's going to give issuers more confidence that they can handle, you know, they can reduce false declines in authentication, but they can also be spotting more fraud as well. Yeah. And yeah, when I first got into this, which was a long time ago now, I remember somebody explaining to me that issuers and merchants, and I think the phrase used was, yeah, they kind of don't really get along. They don't really communicate that well. And so we've been advocating that the 3DS rails are the way to do that. And I think we're about there. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because it is, like I said, it's a better way to do it. And now what merchants need from the 3DS rails is consistency. And that when they send a transaction, same one transaction, similar characteristics sent to one issuer versus same type of transaction with similar characteristics sent to another issuer, could be different results. And you know, this is a way, it still won't be one rule set across all issuers, but at least it will be taken into account one way of producing the rule set and taking into account the fraud score and the things that we've learned by running this 3DS network over billions and billions of transactions over years and years and years. So I think it's going to allow merchants to get more consistent results, which will then encourage them to send more consistent data, which will then give the issuers better signal as they start to make decisions and authorization. So
yeah,
that's the flywheel that we're trying to encourage to keep spinning.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. I hadn't thought about it that way. It's kind of, that's almost what happened in PSD2. You had the protocol, everyone knew what needed to work, it just needed to be implemented. And I think we're on the cusp of that in the US as well.
Yep.
I mean, we want to drive that. So very good. Last topic, AI. subject we talk about a lot. It's kind of linked to smart rule sets. What's your take on how we're going to be using it in months, years, payments as an industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a secret to most people, like that AI, these agents, it's like it's going to become, like, you can see a world in the future which is very agentic, I think is the term that people are using, which is a bunch of AI agents doing a lot of the stuff that computers do really well. And smart rule sets are a great example. It's just saying, you know, how do I take, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of variables on every transaction, and in real time, in sub 1 second latency, how do you then make a decision on a transaction and route it appropriately for authentication? That's something that computers can do very, very well. And so as you think about those types of scenarios, will start to replicate themselves across the value chain of knowledge work, if you will. And so it can help rule writers write more effective rules. It could help people write more effective emails. It could help people write more effective code. It could, you know, help people write more effective marketing copy. Can help people identify prospects for different solutions. So I would like to think, and this is now me branching into my own opinion, that this concept of agents helping you get your job done is the way that this is going to evolve. I don't think that it's going to be a full-blown replacement of people. And I think that the doomsayers who think that that's about to happen are overstating the downside. We've been, so far, there's been an incredible amount of technological breakthrough just in my own life. And so far, it's people taking advantage of those breakthroughs that tend to win. So I think that we'll see it permeate itself. AI will permeate throughout almost every task that we do and will make us more productive. And hopefully it'll be a the boost to productivity and GDP that we all hope, think it can be.
Right. So thinking of it more as a tool than a replacement. And there's always work to be done, right? There's innovation, there's tools, there's opportunities that we can't even see now.
And I use it. I know you do too. I mean, if I have a concept that I don't truly understand, and especially good at it in the 3DS world, you just start conversing with your chosen model of choice, and you just start conversing with it and asking it questions and essentially telling it to teach you a complicated topic, which it does very effectively. And it's really this change of searching for a bunch of blue links versus actually just asking for an answer. It's an amazing mindset shift. It really is. And yeah. I actually am thoroughly enjoying it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, me too. It's I had to wait 3 seconds the other day, but it's never said I'll get back to you tomorrow. It's never said that. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. So very good. Okay, well, thanks, Matt. I think that's, we'll call it there. And thanks to everybody who's listening. There's a lot of content in the newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for that, please subscribe. We'll keep those coming. Thanks to Aaron and the team who put that together. And then we'll speak again in March.
Great. Let's turn on a bunch of smart rule sets.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. We'll be in touch. Thanks, Matt. Thanks all.